Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, everyone. It is Sunday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap. Yes, we're having a great weekend of boxing. Had boxing on last night, of course, from the Shreveport with Mr. Devin Haney. Winning his fight. Also today, right now on Fox Sports 1, we have a title fight. Caleb Plant and I know everyone said it all day and I'm still going to mess it up, but Ukogazny against undefeated Caleb Plant. And guess what weekend this is? Adrian Broner and Manny Pacquiao. But we're going to talk about a lot of these things. Let's first join Mr. Scully here and see how his week's been going. Let's see. We're here, Scully. Sometimes these guys forget, especially when you're dealing with the backies. Scully, where are you? Let's see. Maybe. Sometimes we just have bad connections, and I know there's also a possibility of very bad weather back there in the Mass. As I was saying earlier, we did have fights last night, once again on Showtime. We had Devin Haney, and if you listen to the broadcast, we had his father on last Sunday, and the fight pretty much went the way that they said it would, with Devin I believe he pounded out a unanimous decision over the young man, but. Not exactly sure. Maybe might have to text. So let's see. I know. I should be able to chew bubble gum and text it at the same time, but unfortunately I'm not. Okay. I want to get Scully's opinion on the upcoming fight by the Jack Marcus Brown. We were talking about Mr. Beatty Benev and his fight actually getting canceled. So we have to wonder what's kind of going on at the top of the light heavyweight division here. We've also heard that as everyone's kind of predicting or looking forward to, that Usyk is contemplating his move up to heavyweight. So I think everyone's kind of waiting for that decision. But in the meantime, I mean, are there any fights that would be financially beneficial to Usyk at light heavyweight? But everyone, I mean, and as I said, you know, I know it's going down in weight from cruiserweight, but we've seen catch weights before. So, see, I have it on. Oh, okay. Anyway. What about Usutagi? How's that? I think I might have gotten it right for the first time tonight. As I was saying, I'm not exactly sure what happened with Scully, but we did want to talk about, as everyone knows, he does have another reunion coming up. And looking at the boxing schedule here for the next week, let's see. Verona, New York, Brian Jennings is going. I'm sure that we'll see Scully at this fight. Brian Jennings, Shakur Stevens. Stevenson, sorry. These guys are all destined to be looking for much bigger fights, so I'm sure we'll see him up in Verona. And if I'm correct, I think he also has some fighters that are scheduled to be in the amateur fights also. The pay-per-view this week, as we are all talking about, you know, Manny Pacquiao, Adrian Broner. Does Adrian Broner finally get should I say loser in big fights? He seems to run out of gas in some of the later rounds, or has to cruise and give away rounds in the middle of the fight in order to be fresh at the end of the fight. So it would be very interesting to see the listeners' point of view on Adrian Broner and Manny Pacquiao. Adrian Broner, as I said, trying to get the loser tag off his back. And Manny, what happens to Manny? If Manny loses the fight, you know, does he get another shot? We all know about his tax problems, but if he loses the fight spectacularly to Adrian Broner, and we haven't seen a spectacular win by Adrian Broner in quite some time, so what happens if Manny gets knocked out? What happens if Manny goes the distance and loses a decision to Adrian? Which brings us to another fact. Can Adrian win a decision against Manny Pacquiao? You know, there's always the feeling that most fans, boxing fans, watch to see Adrian Broner lose rather than Adrian Broner win. Well, this is one of those particular instances where I think Broner cannot win the decision. Broner has to let me backtrack a minute. Adrian Broner cannot win a decision, I don't think, without having at least one knockdown of Manny Pacquiao. For Manny Pacquiao, I don't think that's the same requirement. If Manny Pacquiao looks different, looks decent, goes through the fight well, he doesn't have to knock out Adrian Broner. Public opinion will, and I think judges' opinion will. So, that being said, what's your take on the Manny Pacquiao Broner fight? Press one, you can be heard. We'll talk to you about it. I see you out there. You don't have to just listen to me. I'm not the one. Let's see. We can go to another fight here. I'm going to try Mr. Scully again. In the meantime, let's see. Marcus Brown, Badu Jack. Pundits lean toward Marcus Brown. And under normal stances, circumstances, I might lean toward Marcus Brown too. But I like Badu Jack. I like the way he's looked since he's moved up to light heavy. I'll have to see him at the weigh-in. But if Badu Jack is serious and he doesn't look this last gentleman in that came in against Mr. Figueroa, if he doesn't look like he's taken this training seriously, looks dry coming out to the weigh-in, on the other side, still has trouble making weight, which I don't think he will. I like Badu Jack in this one, I'm looking for the underdog to come through. Now, what would be next for the winner of this fight? Could they possibly handle some of the champions? Well, hey, we'll see. I believe there's four title fights here. So let's see. We also have Rashid Warren. He's going to be fighting for the vacant WBC title fight. I'm not sure that I know that much about his opponent, so I won't embarrass myself by trying to make things up. Rashid is now, once again, if we talked to him Tuesday night, Rashid is now training at the Headbangers gym down there with Barry Hunter. And he's actually been down there since before Christmas. From what I understand, very serious about this fight. Only took one day off, went home Christmas Day, was right back in training camp, back down in the gym the day after Christmas. So Rashid, at 31 years old, is actually coming into his prime as far as this fight is concerned. We've all been looking for the former champ to come back to his former glory. So maybe the team of him and Barry Hunter can bring the title back around Rashid's waist. And then we also have a fourth title fight, and it's for an interim, actually, it's for Jack Shakur's WBA interim featherweight title. I'm actually losing kind of track of all these. I mean, the Pacquiao fight is for the WBA regular welterweight title. The Badu Jack is for the WBA interim lightweight title. The Rashid Warren fight is for actually the WBC bantamweight title. And Mr. Tapora's fight is for the interim featherweight title. So we have a lot of belts, a lot of titles going around here. First round of the Caleb Plant Ugazi fight. We started off right here with round one. As usual, everyone's kind of feeling each other out. Ugazi's coming forward. just missed with that. Good inside fight nearby Caleb. Caleb throws out that jab, turns southpaw. That's true. Caleb looks like he's a little bit the bigger fighter here. Ugazi drives Caleb back. I see the professor is here, has joined us. Professor, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good, JK. I see you riding solo right now, so I had to call in. I'm not really ready, but since I saw you riding solo, I was like, I ain't going to leave him out in the cold. Just have to deal with a little bit of background noise for a few.
Well, I do see Scully has joined me here. See, all he needs to know is that you was here. See, you're my lighthouse there. So we'll let Scully carry us on, and you let me know when you're ready. Mr. Scully, what's going on this evening?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was having a little phone trouble, but I'm good now. I should be good.
All right, man. I was actually watching a little bit of this fight, but I was also talking about the fights that were coming up next week. Mainly Marcus Brown, Badu Jack, and Scully. You know, I know this is something that really gets under your skin. And I was looking at this Showtime pay-per-view here, okay? And it has four title fights. But listen to this. Manny Pacquiao versus Adrian Broner for Pacquiao's WBA regular welterweight title.
Right.
Badu Jack versus Marcus Brown for the vacant WBA interim lightweight title. and then we have Jack Tapora versus Hugo Ruiz for Tapora's WBA interim featherweight title. Okay. Scully, this is a
page. I mean, again, like as I've said many times, and you know, and people should know, you know, it's like for people who don't know, they're going to, you know, whoever, say hypothetically Brown wins, hypothetically, he wins the fight, And so people will read it and go, man, wow, he's a WBA champion, light heavyweight. Wow, that's cool. You know, that's really good for him. And then 2 weeks later, they'll see a story about Bivol, and it'll say WBA light heavyweight champion. And the guy will go, no, the guy, Barkus Brown, he's a WBA light heavyweight champion. And then somebody's going to have to try and reasonably explain to him what is even going on. It's the stupidest, dumbest thing I've ever heard, ever seen. And the fact that, you know, I wish people in boxing would just rage against it and just go crazy against it, but they don't. And, you know, I just, you know, if anything, I wish one of these guys after the fight, and they won't, you know, they won't, but I wish whoever wins would say, you know what, right on the air, right on TV, and just go, you know what, I get it. You know, I'm fighting. I got this title. You know, it is what it is. But I know I cannot be accepted as the real world champion until I beat Bivol. But they won't do that because, you know, people, that's just not how they're built. You know, not in this world. You can be called a world champion when you literally shouldn't be. It shouldn't even be possible that you're a world champion. I hate it. It's unbelievable that this is happening. And I don't know if people in everyday life that are boxing fans, I don't know if they truly realize how stupid and how damaging this is to our sport. I don't know if they have any clue. I really don't.
The fact that it's a pay-per-view, I mean, I think that even makes it a little bit more, you know, to show you how things have digressed. I mean, now, also, you've got a champion, too. So, I mean, you know, I mean, what's up in the light heavyweight division here?
Well, I mean, the division, there's a lot of good, solid fighters in it. That's for sure. Whether we call them champions or whatever we call them, there's a lot of good guys, you know what I mean? So it's a good time for the light heavyweight division, you know, but the title situation, calling these guys titleless, is damaging. But it is a good division. There are some very, very good fights to be made at 175, 100%.
So who are you looking at? I think the professor is kind of leaning toward Marcus Brown. Who are you leaning toward, Scully?
You know, I think it's a very fight. Yeah, I think it's an even type of fight. If I was going to bet, I mean, you know, I might waver one way or the other tomorrow. But if I was to bet right now, I think I would go with Badu Jack. I think his experience, you know, the experience he's gained, and he's on a good place right now. Just strictly a gut feeling, I would go with him. But, you know, it's a very even matchup. And, you know, which is, I mean, all we could really hope for is really even good fights. And so I think it will be that.
I think I woke the professor up there. What were you saying, professor?
No, you said I was picking Marcus Brown, and I was saying, no, I won't.
Mm-hmm. I thought I heard you giving him some glowing out accolades last week, but hey, I think this is a good fight for Badu Jack, and I hope, you know, that he looks good coming out of it. But once again, I do think that these are kind of empty titles, and I don't quite understand why. I'm kind of like you, Scully. I don't understand how the casual fan might go for it, but I don't see how the diehard boxing fan is really accepting and buying all.
Right, and you know what else? How can the WBA take themselves seriously? Like, why, other than the sanction fee money, why would they do this? Like, I cannot for the life of me put myself in any kind of mind frame that would justify, other than the money, why they would want to do this to their titles. Why in the world would the president of the WBA want to do this? I cannot figure out what his position could be. I don't know what's going on. I really don't.
Well, I think we've talked about that before. It has to be strictly a money grab here because,
right.
You know, like you said, you got four champions, you know, in one division. Whatever happened to the number one contender, number two contender? I mean, you know.
Right. Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying the interim champion is basically the mandatory challenger. But you don't give the mandatory challenge a world title belt. That's just when we go say after this fight a month from now, we go and we list all the light heavyweight champions in history. Bob Foster, you know, this guy, that guy. Do we list the winner of this fight as a world champion? I mean, how can we do that? How can we possibly do that? I don't understand it. I mean, I'm really, 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 as you know, I'm very disillusioned with the whole thing. I really am. I'm really, it's almost like being in the twilight zone. It's hard to believe.
Let's talk about something a little bit more real, other than all of these champions, it's getting time for the amateur boxing in Reno, I guess, to start forming our Olympic team. You want to give us an update on your amateur program?
Well, our Golden Gloves just started actually yesterday. Yesterday was the first day of our local tournament, and then you go to the regionals and then the nationals. The national Golden Gloves this year, as I understand it, are going to be in Atlantic City, which should be really good. So, you know, there's still a ways to go, you know, before they get the team situated. You know, it's gonna be quite a while. They have a lot of boxing to do before the Olympic team is set up. So it's busy now. Everybody's kind of scrambling. The next tournament is the National Golden Gloves, the next major one. So that's what everybody's gearing up for right now. So hopefully, if I understand correctly, it's going to be in Atlantic City. So I'll probably take a ride over and stay there for a few days and check it out.
DeBron, have you what's going on with the New York City Golden Gloves? I knew last year they've changed the name now or something. What's going on with the amateur boxing program in New York City? We caught him off guard there. He's not quite ready, but. Actually, maybe I might have knocked him off the area. Let's see. DeBron, you there?
Yeah, I was saying I don't have any more information on the amateurs.
Oh, okay. I guess I set you out there. I wasn't really sure. Scully, what are you looking forward to? I was kind of putting forth I was kind of asking Scully before, do you think that it's possible, knowing the way that people feel about Adrian Broner, and, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, Manny says he's going to knock Broner out, Broner says he's going to knock Manny out, da-da-da-da, but just thinking realistically, do you think that Broner can win a decision over Manny without having at least one knockdown in the fight?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so anyway. Like, I just think at this point, Pacquiao is going to be on his game, and he'll offset Adrian. But I don't know. Like Adrian is probably his own worst enemy. It was funny. I was thinking about this yesterday. I've never thought this way about a fighter in my life. Even when Floyd used to do stuff, he wasn't negative necessarily like Adrian, but people disliked Floyd for different reasons. But with Adrian, it's hard for me to picture a fan really liking this guy, because with social media, you get to see him in action outside the ring. And, you know, as I've said several times, I mean he's not a good person. It is what it is. I mean, you watch the videos of him treating, you know, people, store clerks and, you know, fans, and what he says to these people and what he does, you know, with these people, is it's just not right. And it's going to be hard. You know, it's judges are human and they're getting, you know, saturated with this stuff. And then by the same token, you have Pacquiao, who, you know, is always like in a good light, and, you know, he's, I guess he's a nice guy, and, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, so it's hard with social media. It might actually be really like, it's added a new dimension to things, because judges have access to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and they're seeing these guys, and, they're probably definitely forming opinions, at least psychologically, subconsciously, about these guys. And, you know, Mayweather really, I mean, Broner really, like, magnifies that in a negative light. So I can't imagine he's doing it. In other words, I can't imagine he's doing himself any favors in the eyes of the people who matter.
I see you there, Jabron. What do you think? I know we have a bad connection. You guys up there, what's the weather like up there, Scully? I mean, you know, I know there was supposed to be some really bad weather all the way up to up the East Coast.
Yeah, no, we're good right now. It's pretty clear out. I don't know what it's like in New York, but it's okay over here.
Yeah. Scully, what was your biggest conclusion from 2018, positive and negative?
You mean like in recapping the boxing game?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, on a positive, I mean, I was happy to see the emergence of certain guys, you know, Deontay starting to get, you know, a bigger fan base, and the fight with Fury, you know, made him, you know, I think gained him a lot of respect from a lot of people. Fury came back strong. That was very positive. Joshua kind of had a breakout year. That was positive. You know, and plus you've got Errol Spence and Crawford and different guys like that, Lomachenko. So I think 2018 was a very, very positive year. I think we've gained a lot of boxing fans, and I think the buzz has maybe picked up a little bit, you know, over the last couple of years. And even for better or worse, you know, even Mayweather with his, you know, with the fight with the Japanese guy and different things like that. You know, he was able to keep things going and, you know, doing what he does. So I think it was a positive year for the light heavyweights. I mean for the you know, for the boxing game in general.
Any negatives that you would think about?
You know, just Adrian. I mean, Adrian. I mean, Adrian's, you know, like I say, his what he does. Everything about Adrian Broner is to me a negative. You know, I just can't get with this guy, with his, you know, the way he treats people, the way he talks, the way he acts. And I think, you know, subconsciously I have a little something against him because of the whole, you know, kind of what we're talking about earlier, like, you know, the title. He's got four titles and, you know, he's never beaten the elite marquee names. You know, so I kind of have a little thing in for Adrian. It's going to take a lot for him to make me happy. Not that he cares at all, but, you know, just it's very difficult for me to find anything positive about this guy. You know, and the Donna Stevenson situation obviously was a black mark on the year. But I did hear that he's improved somewhat, that he, you know, that things are looking a little better. But on that note, actually, before I forget, I don't know if you heard what happened to Joey Gamache the other day. Did you get a wind of that?
No.
the other day, I talked to him today. We texted each other, and he was able to respond to me, so which is a good sign. But apparently, 3 days ago, outside the gym, he works at a gym in Manhattan on 26th Street. Him and Junior Jones and a couple other guys, they train fighters there. They do personal training and that type of thing. And apparently, at about 5 in the morning, someone, and they supposedly they know who did it. I don't know who did it, but supposedly they know who the person is. And it was some guy apparently sucker punched Joey out in front of the gym at about 5 in the morning. I guess Joey was getting there to do some personal training with some clients. And I had originally heard that he had a brain injury, but happily, luckily, that was false. But he apparently the guy broke his jaw in 3 places. And, you know, he was bleeding very badly, and some guys out there helped him up and brought him to the hospital. They had to do surgery on his jaw, and you know, now he's heading back. I guess he's heading back to Maine to be with his family for a while. So, you know, it could have been much worse, could have been a tragedy, but apparently, you know, like I say, he texted me back, so I guess he's okay in that regard. But hopefully they find this guy and are able to prosecute him, because I don't know if you know Joey, but Joey Gamache is a really, really, really good guy. Like, there's nobody in the world could say they have an issue with Joey. Like, he doesn't get in trouble. He doesn't talk about people. He doesn't argue with people. He's a really just a low key, just a good guy. And you know, I don't know why this guy could have done that, but Joey basically averted the tragedy. Boxing averted the tragedy the other day by just a little bit.
Oh, man, well, our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. As you said, that could have been a much worse strategy outcome.
Right.
I got to ask you one question before I let you go, Scully. You mentioned a lot of positives, and you listed, of course, a negative, but where do you put streaming? All of the new streaming platforms, where do you put them in the sense of exposure and more exposure to boxing?
You know, I really don't know about that. I mean, then I should have mentioned that the death of HBO Boxing is a huge blow for me, you know, just in my eyes. You know, I grew up with HBO Boxing, so I don't know. I mean, I guess I always assume this, the people in power, whether it's Al Heyman or whoever it is, they know what they're doing. You know what I mean? They know where business is headed. They know where technology is headed. They know the numbers that we don't know about. They know what's making money. They certainly want viewership and money. So I'm sure whatever they're doing is going to help benefit boxing in the long run, but it's just a bittersweet type of thing, because you hate to see HBO go. You know, that's a tough blow. So I don't know. I think it's just one of these things where you get a little bit older and you hate change, and you know, people hate change, and I'm at that age where I just wish HBO would just stay on the air forever. But I would have to assume, being realistic, it's probably going to be beneficial to boxing in the long run, but it's just going to take a little getting used to.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, don't you think with kind of, as you said, the death of HBO? I mean, look, we got boxing on Sunday night here on Fox Sports 1, PBC. You had Showtime on Friday night. So, I mean, it does seem like there are holes being filled, and it does also seem like you're being exposed to some of the younger fighters, even though some of them is a name we can't pronounce, or some of them have, you know, this title and that title. But I kind of think, even though John, we're getting old. I mean, we want to hang on to those old things, but you know, hey, we got 16 champions in every division now instead of one. So things are certainly different, you know. So there's a champion for every station, for every city, but rather than having to subscribe to HBO for X amount of dollars per month, now you can you can get streaming, ESPN Plus, $5 a month, DAZ, $10 a month. It is kind of lowering prices and giving more people access, it's kind of a mixed bag, you know, like you say, you hate to see the death of one, but there's always the birth of another.
Right.
Scully, thank you so much, man. Why don't you make sure you tell everybody about your upcoming events. I think you said you were trying to organize another amateur reunion, let everybody know where they can find you on social media.
Right. Well, I have something special going on in April. April, the last Sunday in April, whatever date that is, the last Sunday in April in the Bronx, New York. A group in New York called Ring 10, which they help fighters like Wilfred Benitez and Gerald McClellan and many others. They're doing a thing called the Run with the Champs, which is on a Sunday, the last Sunday in April, and you can pay $10 to get in, and you get to run on the track with all these fighters, Junior Jones, Mark Breland, Iron Barkley, different guys like that. So I'm partnering up with them, and I'm going to do a reunion that day. So I'm going to bring in all kinds of fighters. I'm having a bus trip. Some guys from Boston, a whole bunch of fighters from Boston are going to be coming in on the bus. We're getting guys from Philadelphia, New Jersey, all over. And everybody's going to pay $10 each, and all that money will go to help fighters in need. So it'll be an amazing opportunity for boxing fans to come and meet some of these guys. Lots of champions and contenders. And so, the last Sunday in April in the Bronx is going to be the place for East Coast boxing fans to be.
It's April 28th.
Is that what it is? Okay, whatever. Yep, whatever. If that's what it is, last Sunday is April 28th. Then that's going to be the day to be in. If you're in the New England, New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia area, even Delaware, I would recommend driving up. And I might even have. Angel McFreddy might come in from Indiana, possibly Sugar Ray Fields might come in. So we're gonna have a nice, really interesting bunch of guys who are gonna be in there.
All right, Scully Boy, man, thanks so much for getting in tonight and talking to us a little bit. So we look forward to talking to you next Sunday, my man.
All right, buddy. Thank you for having me, and I'll talk to you guys later. All right.
All right, Scott.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was the Iceman. Thank you so much for joining in, talking with us there for a few minutes, and giving the professor a little chance to get back on his thing. Thank you so much for bailing me out there. I hope I didn't sound like a fish too much out of water. Professor, how are things going tonight?
Yeah, I was on mute. What was your thoughts, JK, on the test that we saw on Friday coming from Mr. Haney, who we interviewed his father earlier in the week?
I didn't think it was a test. If it was a test, I think it kind of turned out to be an open book test. I think for the level that Haney's at, he did what he was supposed to do. I didn't see, like I said, I didn't think his opponent was was all that flashy, but he was definitely built for Haney and Haney style. I can understand the unanimous decision, but I thought it was entertaining, but not too fun.
Well, what I took away from it, you know, he was in there with a gritty guy, tough opponent, and you saw his desire to really to try to close the show. You saw in the 11th and especially in the 12th round that he was really trying to go for the knockout, you know. But, you know, when someone's in there that has experience, that you know how to survive, it can be a tough task trying to get somebody out of there who really wants to, you know, survive. So overall, it was a good performance by him and his dad. You know, I paid attention to their communicating in the corner and things that he was telling his son to do. And, you know, he was listening and capitalizing, and hopefully we could see him in there with a title shot very soon.
I think he'll get a title shot maybe around September, October, if he keeps winning. The one thing that I did like very much, and it was something that I kind of touched on when I was talking to his dad, if you watch his footwork, he has very good footwork, and as you said, you know, that kind of aided his assault during the 11th and 12th round, but like you say, just had a gritty guy there in front of him because he knew how to move in angles, he knew how to set him up for his punches, but the guy just wouldn't go down.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, you have guys in there like that. Like a good example of that would be Tony Thompson versus Luis Ortiz when he was just in there just to survive, you know, run around the ring until the end of the 3 minutes. You know, it's kind of tough. You got a veteran that's savvy, that don't want to get knocked out. You know, it's kind of tough. But, JK, moving right along to tonight, I see Guillermo Rigondeaux was back in action tonight, you know, after coming off the Lomo loss. And what are your thoughts on his career going forward? Because he didn't go back down to 122 pounds. He actually fought at 126. So he will be in a division with the likes of the Gary Russells and the Leo Santa Cruz, the Carl Frampton, you know, Dog Bay. What's your thoughts that could he possibly capture another title before retiring?
I don't think so. And one of the reasons why I don't think so is because, as we all know, his style doesn't really constitute in putting butts in seats. Now, I think this is another tonight. I think he fought on the A side, but I think this is probably. I'm just talking business here. I think this is probably to keep him on that side until they get one of these young, hungry bulls like you spoke of, and you know, kind of put him in there then with someone that he'll make a good foe for, but someone that they hope to eventually make box office material. Now, whether this strategy will work or not, Rigondeaux is still, you can't count him out. He's still one of those very crafty defensive fighters, though not flashy. He still knows how to win. So I think he'll be up there, but it won't be necessarily because he's Guillermo Rigondeaux. I think it'll be more because of whoever is going to be on that B side.
Well, now, prior to the Lomo fight, he had just signed with Al Haymon. So, after he's with Al Haymon now, do you think he will fall under the same conditions that a lot of the PBC fighters has complained about in the past as far as activity, not being active enough? Do you think now with the new the new telecast deals with Fox and Showtime, that Rigondeaux will stay busy and we will possibly see him maybe two more times this year in the ring?
Oh, definitely. This is one of those times when I think with so many forms of streaming added to Fox Sports One, as we see tonight, Showtime, as you always mention, as you already mentioned, all of these are kind of like vacant spots that were abandoned by HBO. So I think now we're going to have plenty of opportunity to see plenty of fights being made. Now with the streaming, you can do fights from almost any spot anywhere in the world. With the amount with the amount of activity that can be brought about by these platforms, we're going to see a lot more fighters fighting a lot more regularly than we have been in the past. And that doesn't just include Rigondeaux. I'm talking about like perhaps the Gary Russells, some of those guys. I mean that we haven't seen for extended periods of time.
Well, it's something I want to touch on, and unfortunately, the champ had a last minute appointment. Because I really wanted to dive into this with him, but I can get your opinion on the situation, JK, because I have to kind of retract some of the things that I spoke on because of a better understanding. And when I'm talking about, I'm speaking on Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua. And this week, an interview came out. Shout out to the Boxing Voice with Lou DiBella. And Nestor Gibbs was interviewing Lou DiBella and kind of like put some pressure on DiBella, discussing the contract situation with Deontay Wilder and Joshua about the $50 million. And Nestor brought up a very, very good point that when we spoke about it on the show, we was trying to figure out, like, what is Joshua talking about? Remember after Joshua came out a couple weeks ago, JK, on the interview, and I brought up about how he said, oh, the money was there. He believed that they had the money, but it was like if he took the 50 wouldn't really be 50. It would be like 35 due to, you know, some contract obligations and things. And we remember we was trying to iron all that situation out, JK?
Yes. Yeah, I definitely remember.
Right. Okay. Now I have a little more clarity of the situation. And I would have to say I was wrong, or I apologize to the Joshua team, because I looked at it as a sign of ducking, because I'm like, they offered him the $50 million. Why didn't he take it? Well, Nesta Gibbs put the pressure on Lou DiBella, and Lou DiBella came out and stated that it was Al Heyman, Viacom, and BT Sports that was putting in for them to come up with the $50 million. So, with that being said, that's a conflict of interest. That's the point that Nestor was pushing on Lou DiBella, that, hey, that's a conflict of interest because Anthony Joshua is under contract with Sky Sports. So why would Matchroom give up any type of percentage or rights to Joshua, to the competitor, to BT Sports, to make the fight negotiation? So with that being said, what's your thoughts on it, JK, that part of the $50 million that they had to go through a competitor, BT Sport, to get part of that $50 million to make the fight?
Well, I mean, like you said, business-wise, and as Nestor was saying, it is a conflict of interest for them, I guess, to want to go to or to accept a competitor. But if this is necessary for the fight to get made, and let's just say instead of 50, it goes up to 65, are you then going to still turn down the contract? As they say, money speaks volumes. Right now, it's not speaking enough. But as they say, you know, sometimes you make very strange bedfellows. I mean, you know, at one time you didn't have Don King and Bob Arum speaking, Golden Boy and Al Heyman. I mean, you know, so it's not the first time that competitors would be forced to work together in order to achieve the end. But I can definitely see where they're coming from, and the fact that you know, I mean, is it a power play to get more money from the competitor? Or, you know, I mean, it's a legitimate business gripe, but we've seen stranger things happen.
But no, because think about this, JK. This isn't the official offer. This is a counter offer. This is Wilder trying to call Anthony Joshua's bluff, whereas Matchroom, they don't have to go through BT Sports to make the Deontay Wilder-Anthony Joshua fight. That was
no.
Deontay Wilder team utilizing their resources to try to get the fight made. So, you know, that's why I've, you know, evaluating the situation, you have to ask yourself, well, did Wilder team really want the fight? Because why would you put that roadblock in there knowing that that Joshua and them is not going to accept those terms?
But the only thing that Joshua's team said was $50 million. They didn't ask where it was coming from. They didn't say we're $50 million if so-and-so is involved, $50 million if you don't take a contract. They said $50 million. He called their bluff. Now, whether or not business can be done, that's a whole different ballgame. But Deontay Wilder did what he was supposed to do.
But no, JK, think about this. That's not $50 million because if Anthony Joshua is under contract by Sky Sports, right? Now, in order for them to get the fight made, and I'm just using this as an example, Sky Sports will only have 75% of the rights to Joshua, and BT Sports will have 25% of the rights to Joshua. Meaning, like, on Sky Sports, they'll show the replay of the fight, they'll show it live, but BT Sports will have the ability to show little clips and utilize some of the footage from the fight. Why would Matchroom and Sky Sports give up 25% of their stock to the competitor to make the fight when they can have the fight just with Sky Sports?
I understand your argument. I understand Matchroom's argument. The only thing I'm saying is that, yes, you're absolutely right, and it probably would come down to only $35 million. But what I'm saying is, when you tell me I'm selling my car for $5,000, and I tell you, okay, I'm going to give you $5,000. Do you ask me where, you know, I got the $5,000? Do you ask me, you know? Now, if you want to call counteroffer and say, well, you know, hey, I don't want my brother-in-law to have 25%, you know, of the car, then you renegotiate. I definitely understand what you're saying about Matchroom. Yes, we got 100% of the rights. We don't have to give you nothing. I understand what you're saying there. Matchroom has 100%. So why give away 25? And you're absolutely right. But on the other hand, Deontay Wilder has the right to submit the offer. You don't have to accept it, but just like in any business, you can say, okay, well, yeah, you say 50. Well, this is 50. Now, when you say, well, hey, I don't want so-and-so, that's what you call renegotiation. I understand, hey, I'm not going to give you 25% of my pocket when I don't have to, sure. But it's all right for me to ask.
Yeah. But my opinion on the situation is that, okay, look at the outcome now of the whole situation before I give you my opinion. Look at the outcome. What did it do? It gave public perception that Anthony Joshua was ducking, right? Right, JK?
Yes.
Okay, when actually that's not factual. Wasn't ducking. He wanted the fight, but he wasn't going to mess up his contract obligations just to make the fight when he don't have to go that route. So
and that's understandable. But it's kind of like Scully was saying with, you know, all of these different champions. Yeah, that's the perception. It's not always the reality, but it makes Deontay Wilder's case look good to the casual fan. Now, the hardcore boxing fan like you that's going to dig around and look around a little bit more and see what's under the rug, sure, you're going to see the business end and what's going on. But to Joshua, to Deontay Wilder fans, it's making him look good. And that's what counts in public relations.
And the more I thought about it and analyzed it, I think that was part of the plan from the beginning, right? I think Frank Warren already had it planned out, even if Deontay Wilder's team didn't have it figured out yet. I think Frank Warren was like, he heard about that $50 million, and he was like, you know what? I could throw a couple of dollars in the pot knowing that they're not going to give up those Joshua rights when they see that it's BT Sports. So we can make Joshua and them look bad, make Fury look like a hero because we'll match Fury up with Wilder and make it seem like, hey, he's willing to step up to the challenge and make the fight. And now that they made the fight and we saw the outcome, now it's like they plan work just, you know, to the T.
Yeah, precisely. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we don't see the end game, you know, but you have to dig and look and see what's going on behind the scenes, because, like you say, the plan worked perfectly. Everyone assumed that Joshua had ducked the fight and that Fury stepped in, and they played it up very well. And like you said, now they had a Fury Deontay Wilder rematch. And unless, you know, you listen to guys, you know, like the Boxing Voice, those guys, I mean, you don't really know some of these things. The casual boxing fan doesn't. I don't say they don't really care, but they're not going to look beyond the headlines.
Well, as of right now, we have a new super middleweight champion, as in Caleb Plant. He just won a unanimous decision on the scorecard to become the new champion at super middleweight. Congratulations to Caleb Plant. A friend of the show. We've had him on the show before. And, you know, shout outs to him and his team.
I can't wait to see what his meal looks like tonight. You know, usually his girlfriend usually puts out the meals that he gets after his victories. He's still undefeated, but, she's actually a kind of down-home cooking girl, man. I've seen collard greens and cornbread and all kinds of stuff on the table.
Yeah, somebody else said, if you check out his, well, not after the fight, but I say pre-fight meal, check out Manny Pacquiao pre-fight meal. Oh, man, he goes in.
It's funny, you know, man, how some of these guys you look at and you look at their diet and whatnot, you know, haven't had trouble making weight. And then all of a sudden you come down, you know, like, hey, man, you know, didn't you know you was going to be bigger than that? I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know, man. But, you know, that's another thing that, I would kind of want you to test the waters on. What do you think when you see guys like Big Baby and that? There's often been talk of a super heavyweight division in boxing. When you talk about, you know, all these different platforms and whatnot, and we see that, you know, it seems like sanctioning bodies are able to make up belts whenever they get ready. You think we'll ever see a super heavyweight division in boxing?
It's very, very possible, because the size of these guys, they're getting huge. I mean, back in the days, you had heavyweights that was the size of light heavyweights. you know, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, they were considered more of the bigger heavyweights, and they was just over 200 pounds. You know, they wasn't over 250, not even 230, you know. And now an average heavyweight is about 240, 250. And as far as height, the average heavyweight is about 6'4", 6'5". Nowadays, back then, if you were 6'2", 6'3", that's a big heavyweight. So now you got these guys just averaging 6'4", 6'5". So definitely they need to really consider a possible super heavyweight division. Because, I mean,
Think of the safety feature. When you look at guys, you know, I mean, you know, when you just look at the things that have happened during 2018, I mean, you know.
Well, it seems that Mauricio Sulaiman and his crew got together and came up with some new rules about weight, and they'll be monitoring. They will have a 30-day weigh-in and a 15-day weigh-in and a weigh-in, you know, of course, before the fight, because they want to monitor weight cutting. They don't want fighters to drain themselves and put their health into very dangerous waters, as we just saw with David Lemieux, had to be hospitalized for cutting weight, and to the point that he couldn't fight on the undercard of Canelo. But there's more news in the heavyweight division, JK. If you haven't heard, there's a possibility that Vladimir Klitschko will be coming back to the ring, and his opponent possibly could be Dillian White at Wembley Stadium on April 13th instead of Joshua. So with that being said, if that's the case, it's looking like Joshua will be making his way to the United States to possibly face Big Baby Miller. What's your thoughts, JK?
Now, this, you know, these are TVA intriguing fights, probably for different reasons than the average fan would think. And the reason why I say that is because I think Klitschko and Dillian White could possibly end up being a very action-packed fight. I think the days of Klitschko just dominating guys for 12 rounds, I think that's over with. A guy like Dillian White, I would not be surprised if he goes on the attack early. He could possibly stop Klitschko. I say that with somewhat of high praise, because Klitschko is a former world champion, held the belt for so many years. But I think right now he's ripe for the plucking for a guy like Dillian White. Talking about Joshua and versus Big Baby, I realize that a lot of people like Big Baby's movement he does have very good boxing skills, but I don't think he's mobile enough for an Anthony Joshua. But once again, you're talking about an Anthony Joshua, and you're talking about a big baby that maybe still have 30 pounds over him, maybe more. Who knows at what weight big baby's going to come into. I think the lighter big baby comes in, the better chance that he has, but I don't know if he would have enough pop at a lower weight to actually stop a Joshua.
Well, and there's more tea coming. It's possibly the UK Joyce could be facing Cuban, now American, Luis Ortiz. Maybe March or by the end of this year. What's your thoughts on this? And do you think they're moving Joe Joyce a little bit too fast, or is right on time?
I think it's a little too fast for him to be fighting the likes of Luis Ortiz. Luis Ortiz has shown not only his stamina, but also, who knows? Luis Ortiz might be 60 for all we know, but he still has enough skill, and he still does have enough a punch to get you out of there. And I'm not sure if I would probably wait a little longer. But it should be an intriguing matchup. I just wonder about the psychological effect of putting a guy in there against Luis Ortiz that might not be quite ready. Now, if he happens to shock the world, then all the thing I can do is, eat a little crow and say, hey, who knew?
Well, I think it's going to be intriguing because I think Joe Joyce is really going to try to push Luis Ortiz in this fight. And I think it's going to be an action-packed fight. And we'll have to see, will Father Time finally catch up with Luis Ortiz, or if he still have enough in the tank to take care of this young up-and-rising star. So I just can't wait for that to get made. But back to the Klitschko Dillian White, I think Klitschko has a good chance to beat Dillian White just based upon that Klitschko fights tall, and he has the height and reach advantage over Dillian White. And he's a lot more technically sound. Dillian White will throw some looping punches, and I know Klitschko, with his veteran ability and his skill, that he'll frustrate Dillian White, because he'll revert back to his old self and possibly tie Dillian White up when he try to rough him up on the inside and attack the body and things of that such. So I think it will be a long night for Dillian White. You have to realize Klitschko has not sustained a lot of damage over his boxing career. Yes, he's been knocked out a couple of times early in his career, and then the one stop is by Joshua. But the overall totality of his career, he hasn't sustained a lot of damage, and he keeps himself in very good shape. He's been in the gym. That's not a surprise. He's been sparring, and he's been working out. So he keeps himself in real good shape. He's not a partier or a druggie and, smokes and drinks. So I really think that, he's a true professional, and he'll definitely give Dillian White a tough fight.
I think Jillian maybe should call the champ and see if he wants to do a little consultant work.
By the champ,
I'm talking about Layman Bruce. I think Layman would be the ideal guy to train Jillian White for Vladimir.
Oh, that'll be a great plug for the champ. Get the champ in the corner. That'll be a great one.
Go ahead.
And last but not least, I have to save it for last because it's the least exciting fight that I want to see this year. And Oscar De La has come out and said that he's starting to the negotiation to try to get Triple G rubber match for Cinco de Mayo, May 4th, and I'm not excited. What is your thoughts on it, JK? Break it down.
I'm not excited for this fight, man. I really don't. I mean, I would be more excited for a Triple G Chalo fight, a Triple G. There's so many other people that I would rather see in the ring with Canelo. I think twice was enough. Of course, I do realize a boxing public. I don't know, you know. Canelo fans, I'm sure, are calling for it. Triple G fans, I'm sure, are calling for it. You know, but it's kind of like Mayweather Pacquiao 3. I don't want to see this again.
Mayweather Pacquiao 2, you mean?
No, Mayweather Pacquiao 3, I mean.
2. They only fought one.
I know that. That tells you how much I want to see it, right?
Yeah, so that it's just horrible. And, of course, fans, they're going to watch it, but I don't think they're going to get the numbers that they're looking for. I don't think a lot of people are going to purchase that pay-per-view. It'll be only the diehard supporters of the fighters. A lot of casual fans, I don't think they're going to be hyped for it. My whole thing is, if you look at all in boxing history, all trilogies and things of that sort, they let it build up. When have you seen a trilogy done within less than 2 years? Less than 2 years, 18 months, they will have a doggone trilogy. Like, come on. Like, even Tim Bradley and Pacquiao was over a couple of years. Like, they fought other people in between the fight. You know, like, Marquez, Pacquiao, even though they fought four times, they fought other people in between those fights.
And other good people. Don't forget that. Other good people. You know, they didn't go down and find guys out of the bar in Tijuana. But, you know, anyway. I want to ask you the same thing that I asked Scully earlier. Do you think that Rona can win a decision against Pacquiao without having at least one knockdown?
No. There's no way. There's no way. He does not have enough punch output to win a decision with a knockdown. With a knockdown. He don't possess enough punch output to win a decision against Pacquiao. No way. He has to knock Pacquiao out, or he has to knock him down multiple times in multiple rounds. Not multiple times in one round, multiple in different rounds.
Like, no, there's no way he's outboxing Pacquiao. There's no way. And personally, if you've been paying attention to the All Access and just look at Broner, he's not in shape, man. He is not in shape. Look at his stomach, man. That's not a six pack. Come on, man. That shirt supposed to be like tucked in, like sinking in, not sticking out. He's not in shape.
Well, he thinks he is, but we'll see.
He's not in shape. In order to be a professional boxer, that is your job. That is your job, to be training all the time, not just when you go and sign some paperwork and say, oh, I got a fight coming up, and, oh, let me go train. No, you have to train all the time. You have to maintain your weight. Okay, it's all right, you gain a couple of pounds, but you have to practice your craft. You have to rest. It just saddens me that he has that much ability, that much talent, and is down the drain, and he's only 28 years old. This is the prime time that he's supposed to be. Man, are you kidding me? 28 years old? And his career is basically about to be over? Because, man, I'm telling you, if Pacquiao really put it on him, I'm telling you, it's going to be devastating to his career.
Okay. Let's take it a step further, because you do know that he has other young men in his camp, Gervonta Davis being among them. We've already seen, Gervonta being... still back in the hood in his mentality. If Adrian Broner takes a beat down from Manny, what do you think are going to be the effects, if any, on the young fighters that are in camp preparing and training with Adrian as their quote unquote role model?
I don't think he's a role model, but I mean, I don't think it's going to have any effect. I mean, to be honest with you, it's like they hang with him, but really, I think instead of laughing with him, they laugh at him. Because all those other guys are either undefeated or champions. You know, a lot of those guys, he's hung around, Tank and he's been around Earl and the Charlos and stuff like that. Like, but the difference is those guys train, man. They party a little bit, but those guys, they study, they craft, they work. They study tape. They, you know what I'm saying? They're not always in the club. They're not always running the street. Not trying to make a rap song, a rap album. Look, you got your post-career to do all of that. You got your post-career to be a superstar, actor, a rapper. You got your whole post-career to do that. Now it's time to focus on being the best boxer that you can be, because you can't get this time back. You could always be a musician. That, I mean, you could be 60, 70, 80 years old and be a musician, you know. So, but you can't be a 60, 70-year-old boxer. So, it's up to him. But from what I see, it don't look good. It does not look good. He don't look in shape. He don't look sharp. All that hitting the pads and looking flashy, nah, man. No, I need to see you in that ring sparring, heavy sparring, training hard, eating right, not staying up late, getting rest, like staying out of trouble. Like, man, it's sad, JK, when you got that much ability and you let it go down the drain, man. Like, I'd give anything that to be in that position. To be in that position, man, I would be great.
Well, you know, we blamed a lot of it on Matt Stafford and said, you know, Matt Stafford taking him as far as he could and this and that. You know, maybe Adrian had taken himself as far as he can go. Maybe this is, you know, I know he's talked about billions, but, I mean, as you said, this could be the end of him making even hundreds of thousands. I know I keep saying it, but I still think, man, you know, like it's a syndrome. It's something about when you get as far as your head takes you, which is much less than the ability that your body has. Because it's not that he's a bad fighter. It's just that he doesn't know how to focus.
I know. If he didn't have so many yes people around him and they would just tell him no and stop telling him things to make him feel good, then he would probably take things more seriously.
When Floyd tells you that you're taking things a little too far, that might be somebody you want to listen to.
Yeah.
But that's just me. You know. But, you know, I mean, you know, when the clown tells you that you ain't funny, you know, I mean, it's time to listen, right?
Most definitely. But,
oh, man,
but I can't wait to see what happened. Even though I already think I know what the outcome is going to be, I still want to see it. I can't wait to see it next Saturday.
Now, I also got to ask you this, man, just like I asked Ellie, too. Now, you talking about next Saturday? You talking about Showtime pay-per-view? But three out of the four championships are for interim titles. Your thoughts?
Oh, man. Hey, everybody got to eat. That's all I got to say. Everybody got to eat. Somebody got to get some money somehow. Somebody got to feed their family. So the same thing in bodies, they eating.
Yeah, but then they got the guys in the ring are eating a little less because they got to pay another sanction fee. I mean, I understand everybody got to eat, but you know, throw some to the guys that are actually going out there and doing a job.
Hey, like Manny say, I try my best. That's all you can do. I'm liking this Pacquiao. Before we get out of here, I gotta say that I'm liking this Pacquiao. I'm watching video on him on different websites and different interviews and even on the All Access. Like, he's really letting his personality come out. He's joking, he's a jokester, he's, you know, we haven't seen this side of Manny before.
Do you think that he thinks it's because he's going to get another Mayweather fight?
Or... No, I just think it's because of Bob Arum. He ain't with Bob Arum. Like, remember, when he was Bob Arum, when it came to backing him into corners with tough questions, he would always say, you know, I just fight, I leave it up to my promoter and Bob Arum and whatever he come up with, and I just fight. So,
the
now,
Pac-Man's personality guy, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, he could be himself. Like, he got more options also. Before, he didn't have a lot of options being on that side of the street. But now he have a lot more options in that welterweight division. There's a lot of pickings that he can get. So he can sit here and be playful and say, hey, I want that guy and this guy. And this, you know, he can call out people and those fights can actually get made.
Hey, and he does have a chance to make some dollars, you know, now that we do. Because it does, just like you, I mean, it does seem when you look at the numbers and you look at some of the views and the clicks and whatnot, it does seem like Manny has gotten a little more public response than he usually does. Like you say, usually it's all about top rank and Bob Arum. But yeah, might be something that you hit on there. But hey, man, once again, thanks for bailing the old boy out. Hopefully everything's good with the champ. Next week we'll be talking about the results of the Showtime pay-per-view. Brandon, while you're talking about while we're talking about it, some other fights next week out of ESPN Plus, Verona, New York. You got Brandon Jennings. You got the young Shakur Stevenson will be on the show. So there's going to be plenty of boxing next weekend. Also, if you don't catch the Showtime pay per view. Check out Daz. I mean, yeah, I don't know if Daz has something. I know ESPN Plus does. And you can always get your boxing fix on there. So, DeBron, why don't you give everybody your final thoughts for the evening and tell them where they can find you on social media.
Most definitely. Thanks and foremost to you, JK, as always. Thank the fans. Thanks to the listeners. Thanks, Scully, coming through. And shout out to the champ. Hopefully he'll be here next week. Everything's all right. And while I'm giving shout outs, a big shout out to the Stevenson family. We have progress. He's moving his limbs, his body starting to, you know, function a little bit more, seeing progress day by day. So hopefully, you know, the champ be back on his feet, moving, all about playing with his kids and his family. I'm just happy that he's finally out of the coma and about to get back to having a normal life. So shout out to the Stevenson family and keep them in prayers for more progression. And I'm Jabron Clemens. You can find me on Facebook. That's J-A-B-R-A-N, Clemens, C-L-E-M-O-N. Let them know where they can find you, JK.
You can find me on the Pugilist Corner. And don't forget to check out one of our new additions, Team Certified out of Wisconsin. We are working with them as a part of KO Publicity. DeBron, I did forget to mention the fights on Daz this weekend, man. There's going to be some barn burners there. Demetrius Andrade is coming back in the ring to defend his WBO middleweight title. And we also have Amanda Serrano coming back in the ring. So maybe we can get Miss Smith on the show again next week. So find me on the Pugilist Corner, the Dog Pound. We're all on Facebook. You can find us on the web on the PugilistCorner.com and right here on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday and every Tuesday. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you next week.